I remember distinctly as a child, and I remember our kids doing the same thing. Do you remember when your children get in your shoes and they clomp around in your house? And ladies, do you remember the time you go to put your lipstick on and it's just a mess? And then you look at your daughter and there's like she has a clown face because she's got lipstick all over her face. You know, as children, we try to grow up and be like our dads. I remember walking in my dad's shoes and trying to walk around. I also remember very distinctly a time where I was going to do that again and my feet wouldn't fit in dad's shoes. And I thought, I was like third grade at the time, you know. But, you know, I was shocked that I had, my feet had gotten that big and couldn't even fit in my dad's shoes anymore. But if you understand that, then that makes a really good transition to what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. There are a lot of people that kind of balk at or afraid of, shy away from discipleship because they don't understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. To a lot of people, being a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, means you have your act together. You don't make mistakes anymore. You have this level of spiritual maturity where you think the right things all the time and you say the right things all the time and you don't do things that you shouldn't do. And me, you know, I struggle with that. I don't always think the way I should think and I don't always speak the way I should speak and I don't do everything I'm supposed to do. So discipleship is probably not for me. Well, that's where we're mistaken, if that's our point of view. Discipleship is not about people who have their act together so thoroughly together that they rarely struggle with sin. That's not what it means to be a disciple. And so what I want to do this morning is tell you how to become a disciple, what it means, maybe some of the challenges, and why we have the church, what the church is all about in the first place. So let's start with this. What does it take to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, the answer to that is found in Matthew chapter 28. So if you have your Bible, open to Matthew chapter 28, and I want you to read what Jesus said. This isn't, you know, me coming up with something and giving five easy steps to discipleship. This is what Jesus actually said. As Jesus is prior to his ascension, after his resurrection, in Matthew 28 and verse 18 beginning, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore." He has the right to command. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. It's been given to him. And so he says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." How do you become a disciple? Well, I'm not an English scholar, let alone a Greek scholar. But these expressions, teaching and baptizing, are modal participles. And what I mean by that is that's how you do what he is commanded to be done. For instance, if I told Anne-Marie, if I said, clean up the room, clean up your room. Sweeping or vacuuming, we say sweep up where I'm from, vacuuming and dusting your room. Well, that's the vacuuming and dusting are how she's to clean the room. My command is clean your room, but how do you do it? By sweeping and vacuuming. Well, the Lord said, make disciples. How do you do that? By baptizing people and teaching them to observe everything the Lord commands them to do and to be. You don't have to know everything when you obey the gospel. You don't have to master it. What you have to do is have a commitment that whatever he teaches, I'm going to try to put that into practice. I may not know everything he teaches at the point that I'm baptized, but when I learn it, I'm going to put it into practice. That's what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is a learner. Another word for that is apprentice. We know what apprentices are. It's an understudy. It's somebody who follows another person and shadows them and learns from them and tries to replicate what they do and how they work. And that's exactly what we have been called to be. First of all, here's how we do it. We become those who have been baptized into Christ. That's part of the, you know, somebody says, baptism, I know you should do it and stuff, but it's not necessary. Jesus said it is essential to becoming my disciple. If you're going to be a disciple, this is the way you do it, by being baptized and by committing yourself to do whatever I command you. Even if you don't know what it is, you have the kind of trust in him that he'll never lead you wrong. He'll never steer you in a wrong direction. His commandments will be good and right and holy. And so you can say, yeah, I'll follow him wherever he tells me to go. And as we learn, we follow. So that's what discipleship, that's how we become a disciple. But the challenge of disciple is this. I can't do what Jesus did. You see, and so that's why I'm not even trying. That's why I don't even want to get involved in Christianity, because I know who Jesus was. I've read the book and I know what kind of a man he was, but I am so far from that. And so discipleship is not for me. Well, like I said, discipleship is the same thing as an apprentice. Somebody who picks up a hammer for the first time is not going to wield that like a carpenter who has 40 years of experience. But he can learn from that carpenter, and from his clumsy beginnings and sore thumbs, he can get better and he can improve, and he becomes more like the man he's understudying than he was when he began. And that's what it means to be a disciple. We're never going to reach perfection. We're never going to be completely like Jesus, but we can be somebody who is growing and learning after him. And that's what it means. It's a challenging thing, because Jesus begins by saying this: if you're going to be my disciple, you have to take up a cross, you have to deny yourself, and you have to follow me. I find difficulty in the cross and in denial. Self-denial. I can't do whatever I want, whenever I want. I have to do what Jesus would have me do. That requires a lot of self-discipline. That's difficult. And a cross, that's an instrument of death. What he's saying is, you have to follow me even if it means your death. That's difficult as well. But another demanding trait or quality that makes Jesus' discipleship difficult from our perspective is, I think it's found in Mark chapter 7 and verse 37. That passage, we sing a song about this verse, and you'll probably recognize it when you hear it. But in that verse, it says, Jesus doeth all things well. And that's the King James language. Jesus doeth all things well. There's never anything Jesus didn't do perfectly. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus, in his teaching, he never made a bad argument. He never got cornered by his enemies and said, oh, wait, I'm wrong. Sorry, you're right. I'm wrong. I've got to make that. He never did that. He never did the wrong thing. He never misspoke. He never said things that were hateful, that were hurtful to people. Everything in his life, he did well. And so here I am. And I am far from that. When I go back and I think of some of the things that I've done in the past and some of the things that I've said to people in the past, I get really uncomfortable and want to think about other things. And probably you're the same way. You're not that different from me because we have failed miserably. But discipleship does not require perfection. It requires us to learn, to make a commitment to try to be like this person that we are studying under. And it's a process of growth. It's not a process where we will finally reach the pinnacle and we will have arrived. For everyone, discipleship is just a process that we do better in conforming to the image of Jesus. Some of the things that I've wrestled with in my life, and I dare say you've wrestled with them too, the tongue. Like I said, Jesus never taught anything wrong. He never spoke a lie. He never insulted somebody with his tongue and made them belittle them in a hateful way because he was just tired of their nagging. Me, on the other hand, you, on the other hand, James says we've all sinned. If we could control the tongue, he said, you'd be a perfect man. Because the discipline that it would take to control your tongue, you would master all the other stuff. That would just come along with it. It is hard to control your tongue. And so we wrestle with that. We wrestle with our attitudes. Sometimes we get a chip on our shoulders and we struggle with our attitudes. We're negative and we're against something before we even know what it is because maybe the person who brought it up. And we have something against them. And attitudes can get in the way. Sometimes we judge people incorrectly. Those are challenges to being a disciple of Jesus. And then our benevolence. How kind are you? How helpful are you to people who are not as blessed as you are? How do you treat them? How do you reach out to help people who struggle in ways that you've never struggled? Do you just pass by? Or do you have some way in which you try to enrich other people's lives? We have the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible. Well, that's there for a reason. And he says at the end of it, go and do likewise. We need to be a benevolent people. And we probably struggle with that, finding opportunities when and how to help. So what's the church about? I know what it takes to become a disciple. It's somebody who trusts in Jesus enough to be baptized into Christ and to obey as they learn whatever he commands them to do. And I know it's going to be difficult because Jesus does all things well, and he makes demands of my life that I'm going to be hitting my thumb a lot as an understudy under him. But why do we have a church? Well, the church is our workshop. The church is where we live out this apprenticeship. The church is where we get together and we work alongside each other. We're all apprentices of Jesus, and we're trying each day to be more like him, and we're living that out among ourselves, and we're helping one another along the way. It's not just me and the Lord, but it's us. We are together in this. And those who are more skilled than me, they reach out and lend me a hand. And those who are less skilled than me, I should be reaching out and lending them a hand. That's the way it works. We're all trying to become more and more like Jesus. And so God said, I want to put you together. I don't need Lone Ranger Christians who absent themselves from everybody else, who it's all about them and they have no obligation to anybody else. He said, no, I see the need for you to be together. You know, have you ever done study groups in college? If you've been to college, have you ever had a big test and you get together, four or five people get together and you study together? Because, boy, when you do that, you get insights and you have help and they have notes that you failed to take, and everybody benefits from everybody else, and Everybody does better if it's working right. That's why we have the church. That's why we're not at home right now today doing our own thing. We get together and help each other to become more and more like Jesus. And this collection, the church, this collection of apprentices are people who have committed to make following Jesus the vocation of their life. That's what we're trying to do. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul said, we need to walk worthy of our calling. We've been called out of the world through the gospel of Christ. Those of us who are Christians, we have read God's word and it has spoken to us. We want what Jesus has to offer. We want the hope of heaven. We don't want to go to hell. And that we, because of that, we have listened. And here we are on this struggle, trying every day to be more and more like Jesus. And as a body, we have these moments where we, to use a football expression, huddle together. You know, we're gonna be together and we're gonna help each other. We're gonna explain things to each other. We're going to show and model for each other what it means to be like Jesus. And then that's our life. Christianity isn't that difficult in respect to, I'll tell you what's difficult. What's difficult is what man-made religion has put on the shoulders of people. And they have bound their rules and their regulations and their extra books and how you have to do things and you have to do it this way to be a part of this church. And you have these rules and that's a heavy burden. And discipleship with Jesus doesn't include any of that. You can take off all those burdens from man-made rules and regulations and say, I'm just going to follow the Bible. I'm just going to be a disciple of Jesus and do what he said. And I'm going to be with people who are committed to the same end, and we will help each other in that goal. And that's what we're doing here today. I hope if you're not yet a disciple of Jesus, that you'll make that decision. We have a new sister in Christ in England, new brothers in Christ in England, because they made a decision that they want to be Christians and Christians only, following what the Bible says and nothing more. And that can be you as well if you haven't yet obeyed the gospel. If you need to be baptized into Christ, becoming a disciple, making a commitment to follow Jesus wherever he leads, if that's what you want to do, don't think you have to master it first. That's what this whole process is about. That's what the church is us learning how to be more and more like the one who does all things well. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel, we encourage you to do that. And if you are a disciple, but you haven't been the kind of apprentice that you should be, you've laid off on the job and you're not trying, ask God to forgive you. He'll be faithful and just to do that. We'll pray with you this morning. If you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.